Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
I'm glad you guys are here with us this morning. We're in a series on the greatest commandment. If you guys don't know the greatest commandment, it's found in the Gospels, and it's Jesus responding to the question, what is the greatest commandment out of everything in the Bible, of everything God's ever spoken? What's the most important thing? What is the greatest? And Jesus replied, I know this one. It's to love God. That's the greatest commandment. Love him with everything you got. And we're doing a series on it because if Jesus said it's the greatest, it's the first, the most important, it's probably worth more time and attention than just a one-off, you know, visit. So we're doing a series. And this morning is a session that I've entitled To Love Him in Every Way. And I want to look at that term, every way. I want to talk about loving God in all the ways, in every way. Now, our model here is it's really a trade-off. That's really what we're after this morning as we're looking at the this greatest commandment and the subject of loving him with every way of ours. It's a trade-off. We start with Psalm 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and he's faithful in all that he does. So our kind of starting point, as we want to talk about loving him with all of our ways in every way, we want to recognize all of his ways are right, good, true, faithful, appropriate, the best. All of his ways are actually the best version of whatever that way could be. You know, everybody, you know, these days it's all about individualism and, you know, be your own person and do whatever you want. It's like God's like, listen, you're going to waste so much of your time and life and energy doing it that way. Just figure out what my way is and do that. It's way better. I made humans. I know what the way should look like. I know what your ways ought to be. I've got this whole thing figured out. I created you, every one of you. I know how to do this. Stop trying to figure out how to do you. Do me. In all of your ways, do me, and you'll be way better off. His ways are higher, his ways are better, his ways are righteous. And so as this morning, as we're talking about to love him in every way, it's a trade-off. It's trading our ways for his ways. And, you know, this really gets into a lot of the things that are near and dear to us because there's things that we want. There's stuff we want to do. There's stuff that we want to be known for. There's stuff that we want to be a part of. There are ways that we have about us, and not all of those are bad. But we want to be less about getting our way and more about worshiping him, loving him in all of our ways, whatever it is that we have. I love Psalm 139, 1 through 3. Says, you've searched me. You know me. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. You know everything about me. You know how I think, how I respond inwardly, though I masked it outwardly. You know my ways. You know everything about me. And this is a really good starting point, really good foundation. He knows us as we are, and he still likes us. The deal that we gave him, it's so lopsided. We got God. He got you and me. And he likes the deal. He's excited about it. He knows all our ways. He searched us. He knows us. He knows our ways. But he doesn't just know our ways and go, good job, you got ways. Keep doing you. Because the conversation evolves greatly from there. He knows our ways. He sees where we're at. But then he calls us to walk in his ways. Put up that Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. What does the Lord your God require of you? to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him. I love how these ideas are connected here. The idea of walking in his ways and loving him, being in the same conversation. So many times I think we think of our lives as our own. I'll live however I want. I'll do whatever I want. And then I'll also be a Christian and love God. And it's like, that's not actually how it works. We love him in all the ways. We walk in his ways, and that's actually expression of love back to him. It's incredible, but it's challenging here because it's not just enough that he knows our ways. What does the Lord require of you? To walk in his. Not just that he knows where we're at as the starting point. And we all get new starting points every day. You know, whatever you've done yesterday, push delete, start over today. Okay? But wherever we've been at, it's not just enough that he knows us. It's that he requires that we walk in his ways. Well, of course, to walk in his ways means we got to know his ways. I mean, how could we just accidentally walk in all the ways of God? Which requires, you know, a lot from us, actually. I mean, we got to be in the word. We got to be submissive to whatever it is that he says. Sometimes he says stuff and it's not our favorite. Sometimes we learn things about him and we're like, oh, that part, I'll let that be somebody else's lesson in 2021. But the Lord has got his ways, and we're called to walk in them. But remember, he's righteous in all that he does. His ways are right. His ways are better than your good idea. His ways are righter than your best efforts. His ways are righteous. So we're called to walk in those. We're called to please him in every way. See, I love the way that God set up the kingdom is the coolest. Because the stuff that he requires us to do also get us bonus points. It's so fun. The stuff he requires us to do actually pleases him. So it's not like if we do the requirements, we break even. Just think about your boss, okay, whatever your boss says. You got hired to do some stuff. If you do the stuff you got hired to do, your boss isn't like, oh, awesome! Your boss is like, good, you did what I hired you for. You broke even. You get a paycheck. God is the exact opposite. He tells us to do stuff, and then when we do it, he's all excited. Look at this. Look at this verse in Colossians 1, verse 10, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Live a life worthy of the Lord. How do you live a life worthy of the Lord? You do what he told you to do. You walk in his ways. You just do the thing that we're supposed to do. What does the Lord require of you? To walk in his ways. But when you walk in his ways, you please him in everything. You please him. You make him happy. He smiles. I like the idea of a smiling God. I do. I think about it all the time. I'm just like, oh, I really, really like it that you smile, that you know how to do that, that you're pleased, that you give me those, you know, twinkly eyes. I like that. We're actually supposed to be living like this. This is what our lives are supposed to be about. Living before that audience of one. You've heard that term before. That's what it's really talking about, is pleasing him in every way. But we can't please him in every way if we've made our ways, and they're non-negotiable. We can only please him if we walk in his ways, but if we do, then we get his pleasure. Man, that's awesome. That is so great. He'll help us, though. He'll instruct us in every way. Put up that verse in Psalm 25. All the ways of the Lord are loving. Not just righteous, they're loving. His ways are loving. And as a people that are trying to go on this journey of how do we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, you'd think I'd have it by now. As a people that are going on that journey, to find out that his ways are righteous, that they're right, that they are correct, they're better. But then to find out that they're loving. Like, if I do this the way you want me to, I get to interact with your lovingness, with your loving heart, with your loving ways. And not only that, if I'm interacting with a loving way and I'm walking in it, I'm expressing that loving way right back at him. I mean, this is the greatest commandment. This is all the ways of the Lord are loving. He's faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant, he will instruct them, check this out, in the ways they should go, the ways they should choose. So it's not just that his ways are loving. He says, if you'll make the commitment to be about my ways, to be about my loving ways, I will instruct you how to make your ways line up in those loving ways. I'll help you. You just got to set your heart. I'm going to do the loving ways. I'm going to be about God's ways, not mine. I'm going to do the trade-off. I'm going to figure out what are my ways. How do I think? What do I want? What am I about? And then I'm going to do the trade-off. I'm going to figure out, what does he want? What does he say? What does he like? What's pleasing to him? I'm going to go on the journey. I'm going to say, Lord, I want your ways in exchange for mine. And he says, oh, well, if you're going to do what I command, if you're going to do what I've asked of you, you're going to walk in my ways, I will instruct you. I'll help you do it right. I'll help you. And I just want to tell you, if you have ears to hear, you'll hear. And if you don't, many times, you won't. I mean, this is a lot about a heart posture. If we commit our ways to the Lord, if we say, Lord, you're in charge. You, not me. You. To love you with all my heart. Not to make the most out of me. Not to make me everything I want. Not to give me everything I want. You. If we'll live that way, he'll talk to us more about his ways and he'll help us line up. He'll instruct us. But if we're not, I mean, it's one thing to have lip service, but it's very different to actually have a yes with our mouth and a no in our heart. It's very different. Those are two different things. If we have a no in our heart, it doesn't much matter what we say. And if we don't have ears to hear, there's just a lot of stuff he won't tell us. And it's actually a kindness because, you know, that fathers, do not exasperate your children, you know, to anger. Do not exasperate them. There's a lot that if our hearts are not willing to hear, it actually would do our relationship with the Father damage for him to continually poke at. So there's a lot of kind of soul searching we want to do related to this every way, loving God with all of our ways, because I think there's probably some areas of our life that we've not submitted over to him, that we've not given to him for him to speak. What are his ways in exchange for ours? But if you'll have ears to hear, you want to take this verse to the bank. God, instruct me in the ways I should choose. What a beautiful prayer. What a great verse. Lord, instruct me. Your ways are better. Instruct me in them and show me what I should choose. Choose in my actions, choose in my life, choose in my mind. Show me what I should choose. Instruct me. Only way I came to know you was you started to talk to me. Somewhere along the way, I heard God so loved the world and I realized I was part of that. And that you love me. So somewhere along the way, he started instructing us. Lord, just don't quit. Come on, there's a lot of work here. This is still a rough lump of clay that needs some molding. Instruct me in your ways so I should know the way I should go. Some of you need to stop arguing with the Bible. You need to stop arguing with it. You just need to go, help me. Is part of our walk with Christ, by the way. This is a theological term. You want to get good at sustaining the until it's an ah. Tricky God. You want to work through your but you don't want to give up on it. You certainly don't want to be afraid of it. And you don't want to quit just because it doesn't feel comfy in your soul. Stop arguing with the Bible. Some of you want to stop arguing with the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's nudging you on stuff. He's actually trying to help you. It's not a killjoy. It's actually for your good. Remember, his ways are better. Big God, dummy you. We got it? The distance, is it clear enough? Big, smart, created the word intellectual. Okay, created it. And then you and me are like less than ants. Amy the other day, she was just having this really like out there moment. It was really funny. She's like, the universe. And I was like, yeah. And she goes, we're on one planet. in the universe. It's so big. The universe. The earth is a speck. No, it's a speck of a speck in the universe. And I was like, honey, come on back. She goes, and we're a speck on the speck in the universe. And I was like, you're right. It's all true. And that speck wants to argue with the universe creator? No, I got this. I'm smarter than you on this one, I promise. I've thought about it for 15 whole minutes. I got it. No thanks to your ways, mine are better. Lord, it's just so kind. Why doesn't he strike us all down? His kindness is never ended. The fact that you're all still alive, that I am not struck down because of the arguments I have in my soul that clearly I'm smarter than the creator. Who are we? What is wrong with us? A speck in the universe. It's wisdom right there. That's a smart girl. I married her. We want to get his instruction about his ways and what we should choose. And again, those choices, it's not just big life choices, it's everything. What do you meditate on? What do you give yourself to? Thoughts, attention, relationships, interactions, it's everything. His ways, because they're all of his ways. So it touches everything. He promises to help us, though. Look at these verses. Paul has got some clarity on this. I'm really thankful that God anointed a man, Paul, so much with understanding, so that there was a smart guy who really understood God to write a lot of information in the New Testament, so we could have that as an example. One, that we could go, look what God will give a man. Look what God will give one human if they'll just run after him. But also, thank you, Jesus, for all the practical stuff. Thank you, Lord, for having, I mean, I'm grateful for David, but sometimes David's like my wife talking about the universe. I'm like, okay, David, I don't know what you're talking about. But Paul gets so down to it. He says this. He says, I always thank my God for you because his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in him, you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and knowledge. 2 Corinthians 9 says similarly, you'll be enriched in every way. I want to be enriched by God. Not just instructed, because instruction without enrichment, I'm still got to do it by myself. But instruction from the Lord about his ways, and then enrichment promised. And remember who the one is that's enriching you. It's God. Instruction with the enrichment of God in every way means that you and I actually, we can pull this off. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But I want us to be committed to the process. I want us to recognize the process every way. Walking with God in every way, all of his ways. All of our ways for all of his ways. Every way. The process. Let's make a little progress this week. A little bit next month. The rest of 2021. Let's ride into 2022 with a game plan. Your every way. Instruct me and enrich me so I can actually have a yes that gets turned into a do. It gets turned into a follow through. It's not just a yes with my lips. It's a yes where I've been enriched, where I've been empowered to actually do it. See, if you start looking up all these verses about every way, you find a trillion of them. Because this is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all. And you just imagine back in Deuteronomy 6, when the greatest commandment was given the first time, and then when Jesus is saying it again, the point wasn't only these four things, heart, soul, mind, and strength. The point was every way, to love him in everything, to love him in every way. And when we do, I can just tell you this, when you start loving him in an area of your life, that area gets full. That area gets free. That area gets beautiful. It's beautiful fruit and blossoms on a tree. And you start to look at it, you start to rejoice. You go, this is beautiful. You start looking for another area to be able to give him. See, it's a process. How do we love the Lord our God in every way? To follow him, to obey in every way. Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of a heads up of where we're going with a bunch of sessions coming up, okay? I've got, at least in my heart, is that we're going to do a session on each of these realms, spheres, heart, soul, mind, strength. But I want to add in a few, and not because, just because I think that I can articulate those areas and even more clarity is the hope. I'm hoping that my own soul will get even more clarity as we jump in to additional aspects of what it means. I want to add in emotion, speech, obedience, repentance. To love the Lord our God with all repentance. To love the Lord our God with all our speech. Now, arguably, you could categorize these things under heart, soul, mind, strength. I just don't want to. I just want to have more reasons to talk about loving God. I just want my heart to just burn, and I want to try to get yours on fire too. So what I want to do right now is I want to talk about the vastness of this love, of what it means to love him in every way. And I want to identify some ways. These aren't all the ways, but there's some ways. And they're ways that Jesus was highlighting when he gave the greatest commandment, heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is really cool. Here's why. We have so many different ways to love him. We can love him this way and that way and that way. We can be really good at loving him this way and really immature at loving him this way, but we're reaching and it's growing. And sometimes it's even more fun to watch the thing that you're bad at grow than it is to even do the thing that you're good at. There's so many different ways that we can love him. There's so many ways we can approach him. We got every way. There's no end to the way. So you could make up another, 90-part series on ways to love the Lord your God with all your dot, 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 and fill in the blank. Because there's every way. It's all the ways. I just want to start with heart. We want this. We want to love him with all our heart. This has everything to do with what we put our affections on. To love him with all our heart means that we're thinking about what we're giving our heart's affections to. And that we're careful. Because you can't love with all your heart a bunch of stuff. Not love it. That doesn't mean do it. You can still do stuff, but it can't have your affections. You ever met somebody, they're in a new relationship, and they're smitten? It's kind of disgusting. I mean, they are just all in. And it's like, they don't hear anything else. Like, you're talking to them in the car, you're driving someplace, and they're like, what? I'm sorry, I was thinking about so-and-so. Like, you are no good for nothing right now. It's because all their heart is going that direction. They are all in. You can't have too many things that have your affection, or there's nothing for God. We want to start with him. We want to go, oh God, help me to love you with all my affections, with my heart, not just the rigors of life, not the main and plain. I want what's beating in here to be for you. I want what has the affections of my heart to be yours. So we're going to do a session talking about loving God with all our heart. We're going to do another session on loving him with all our soul. As I just thought about this, and I was really trying to nail down, maybe this isn't the most theological. I'm doing my best to process. And I'm going, what does it mean to love him with our soul? I just mostly came down to it's our personality. It's the essence of us. It's the us that's us. The deepest, truest part of who we are, expressing love through that back to him. And it's beautiful because he made each of us different. Each of us have a heart. Each of us have a mind. Each of us have strength. But when it comes to our soul, you are totally unique. Your personality is different than the one next to you, and God made it that way. How do we love him with how he made us? That's a beautiful offering. How do we love him with not just I'm a person on the earth who's called to love him? How do I love him? You've heard the term, nobody else can worship God and give him the worship that only you can give him. It's that kind of idea. It's me. It's the real me, the soul me, the personality, the essence, the very uniqueness of who I am. How do I love God? Me. How do I, and that's That one takes a little bit of a journey because that one has less clarity and instruction. Because loving him in the other areas, there's some clear defining characteristics and principles. How do I love him? This is kind of like the most personal offering, in my opinion. So love him with all my soul. We're going to do a session on it. Loving him with our mind. It's your thoughts. It's more than that, but it's your thoughts. How do I love him with what I think about? How do I love him with what I don't think about? And I'll just give you a couple little heads ups. There are some things that are not loving God that you're thinking about that you're not necessarily qualifying as sin, but it's totally not loving him. There's thoughts bumping around in there that you're like, I'm going to think about that thought. I'm going to give me a good think. And from the Lord's perspective, it's like, why are you wasting time? You've only got so much room for thoughts. Why are you thinking about that one? On purpose. Again. And again. Like, why would you do that? That's not loving me with all your thoughts. The thought could be condemnation. I just want to tell you, loving God, there's no room for you dwelling on condemnation. You're giving up your ability to love him. You just got to let the thing go. Whatever it is, whatever's in your mind, there are thoughts that you want to extract. You want to not give attention to. You want to ask yourself the question, is dwelling on this thought loving God with all my thoughts? Because if it's not, why? Why would you give? Remember, all his ways are loving. Let's walk in his ways. So if the thoughts that we're giving ourselves to don't actually help us love God with all our thoughts, then it's not good. It's not helpful. Don't do it. Just, I want to give you permission. Dump that thing off in the next corner. Stop thinking about it. Love him with all our strength. To me, this is the most outward and obvious. Because when we love him with our strength, it's the realm of our energy, our time, our money, our physical strength. It's stuff that we have that we can do stuff with that stuff to love him. It's very tangible. These others are kind of a little bit David realm. They're a little, they're out there. Loving him with our strength is like for ogres like me, okay? All the Neanderthals in the room, amen, all right? Just tell me what to do. Just point me in a direction, let me do it. Man, when we love God with our strength, it is using what he's given us. Maybe it's strengths in your physical body. Maybe it's strengths in your influence, strengths in your family. Strengths, whatever could be considered a strength. Somebody would look at it and go, dang, that's a strength. Use that to love God. It's a fun, we're gonna do a session on that one. That's a fun one to me because I so get that one, as weak as I am. You know, maybe it's the longing, it's the aspirations. Oh God, give me more strength. Our emotions. We wanna use our emotions to love God, not allow our emotions to run our lives. God gave you emotions. Emotions are not bad. What we choose to do with those, however, can wind up leading us to far away bad places. You are in charge of your emotions. Just like you're in charge of loving God with your strength. You are in charge. God gave you the ability. Yeah, we want to figure out, how do I love God with all my emotions instead of letting my emotions run me? Listen, we've all got emotions. I recognize all of you in this room, you've got them. And here's the problem. They come out of nowhere and often are raging. They come in, it's like, boom, whoa, what just happened? There's a behemoth in my room. And it's like, and man, they come out of nowhere. They come strong. They come demanding. Man, our emotions they're a little pushy. We want to figure out how to use our emotions to love God, instead of letting our emotions be in charge of our lives, dictate our decisions. It's a lot of self-control related to loving God with our emotions, really. We're going to do a session on it because I just thought, man, that's one I want more clarity on. I want to be able to navigate that in my own soul. So we're going to do a session on that. We're going to do a session on loving God with our speech. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, what was it? Luke Cooper in the leader meeting earlier was like, you know, even a fool is thought wise if he just doesn't open his mouth. And it, there's something about this loving God with our speech that we would use the gift that we were given of communication. And I just want to tell you, communication these days in 2021 comes out in a lot of ways. It is not just you talking. You can talk a lot louder and badder on the internet than you can even with your own mouth. You can, in a moment, you can get a lot more people hearing what you have to say through social media than you even can in a room or in a conversation. We want to ask ourselves the question, is what I'm saying an expression of loving God with all my speech? Because if it's not, it's a waste of that talk, or worse. And I just want to tell you, so often, worse. Whoever invented social media gave a bunch of idiots megaphones. What in the world? Oh my goodness. Lord help us. You want to be careful. You don't just say everything you think. It's a terrible idea. Then everyone will know what's wrong with you. Don't say everything you think. Let's instead filter, how do I love God with all my speech? How do I be careful to say what will be honoring, helpful, loving, tender? I want to love God. I want God to look at me and go, that thing that they just said, that was loving me. That thing they wanted to say so bad and they didn't say it was an expression of loving me with all their speech. This is one we want to look at. Because it's one in our culture that's like, I'm pretty sure America has just decided the right plan is to say everything you think of and then get the megaphone out and make it loud. And it's like, that just, where words are many, sin is not absent. You know, you want to be careful. You want to, let's figure out how to love him with all our speech. So we're going to do a session on it. We're going to do a session on loving God with our obedience. Ooh, I just want to tell you this one real, real clear. The word makes it really clear. We're going to do a whole session talking about it, so it'll be obvious by the time we're done with that one. It's impossible to love God and disobey him. That's not love. God actually defines love the opposite. You know, this whole passage that we're looking at as our primary, the love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, it starts in Deuteronomy 6, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." It says, worship the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. The word in Hebrew that we're using, the Shema, this hear, O Israel, the word hear is also to obey. The two are the same. To hear God speak it is to say, yes, sir, immediately. To hear is to obey. It's impossible to love God without obedience. So the whole realm of loving the Lord our God with all of our obedience, it really comes down to this. It's choosing his way instead of yours. Even when your way is loud, even when your pain, your emotions, your longing, your wish, your voice, your will, even when it's loud, it's choosing to obey him instead because you know his ways. You go, man, oh, that's a paddling right there. That one's a tough one. Lord, Baba to do it. And he looks at it and he goes, that's love. When you do what you don't want to do because I said it's right, that's love. Actually, it's way louder than a worship song. Way louder. When you obey. We're going to do a session talking about worshiping God, loving him with our obedience. Oh, it's good for us. It's so good. It's plumb lining. And the last one that we'll look at least for the moment here, is our repentance. You know, obedience is front end. Repentance is back end. Repentance is after you did it wrong. Repentance is, hey, if God said we're supposed to obey him and I did the thing the exact opposite way that he told me to, we're not at neutral. We are at deficit. If God said, do this, this is how you love me, we're like, nope, going this way. See ya. We're not neutral. We need to repent. And I want to tell you, we want to go on the journey of loving God with perfect repentance. Loving God where we own our mistakes, we own our shortcomings, we own our weaknesses, where we say, God, I want to love you in all my ways, and here are ways I'm falling short. Here are ways I'm not loving you. God, wash over me with forgiveness. Do you know what it does when you and a friend are having a fight and you're in the wrong and the friend says, I forgive you? It washes over the relationship. It just makes it so sweet. Everybody hugs and there's a little tear and you're able to, you know, drink the milkshake afterwards. When friends repent to one another over something real, I don't mean just making up stuff. I mean, there was real wrong. One did one wrong. The one that was wronged was hurt. The one that was the wronger was the hurter. And the hurter comes and says, hey, I'm sorry I wronged you in this way. I'm sorry. It brings healing to the relationship. We all know what that feels like. I want to tell you the exact same thing happens to your relationship with God. When you go before God and you go, I'm sorry I did the thing. We actually get to experience freshness on the love relationship. It's still there. He still loves us. We get to experience the freshness, the healing, the grace, the power. We want to learn to love the Lord our God with repentance as a part of our life, not the kind of thing that you do that one time when there's an altar call, with our lives. Now, here's where I want to end with this. Here's what's really happening. I don't know if you recognize what's going on here, but if you didn't already know this, loving God in every way is you writing Jesus your love story to him. Your life is a love story being written. You loving God in every way is your pen writing a very specific, unique, and beautiful love story back to him. Saying, thank you for redeeming me. I'm not going to hell anymore. That was really going to be hot. I am now a new creation. That old man was stinky. I now have life in Christ, something no lost soul knows. You've saved me out of bad decisions. You helped me to make right ones. You are awesome. You are my everything. I'm now going to respond to you, not with a Sunday morning worship hands in the air. Do that too. I'm going to respond to you with my every way. I'm going to now write the story back to you of my gratitude, of my love, of my appreciation, of my satisfaction in you. I'm going to let my life be a declaration you satisfy. Your ways are better. You're smarter. You're good. You're right. You're true. And all of your ways are loving. I want all of your ways. And I'm going to give them back to you as an expression that I believe it. And also so that I can be all the human I can be. I can be all the me that I was created to be, because I can't be everything God created me to be and do it my way. I've got to be in all of his ways. We perhaps know that we are the bride of Christ. We, as the bride of Christ, are writing our story. We're writing our vows. Every expression, every area of our life, everything that we're giving to him, all our ways. It's an expression of us loving him back. But look, he helps us. Put that verse in Ephesians 5. Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her to make her holy. There's purpose here. He gave himself up for you and for me to help us, to move us forward, to make us holy. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. This is what this is all about, this love offering, this love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's embracing the real story. It's embracing the real purpose. Why did he give himself up for us? To make us holy and to draw us to himself, to make us radiant and bright, to give us everything. I mean, you find me one word in that verse that we just read that doesn't just sound awesome. This is who we are. This is who we're reaching to be. This is what we're walking into. He's helping us in the process. Had an interesting thought As we just did our global bridegroom fast, we do it once a month. It's the first consecutive Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of any month. So if a month starts on a Tuesday, you skip to the next week, okay? But the first consecutive Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the month, we just did that a week ago or so, whatever it was. It's a three-day fast that's happening across the earth, and they call it the global bridegroom fast. And it's based out of this verse in Matthew 9:15. Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast." So this is talking about, this is turning this into a practical step. How do we fast as a bride waiting for our bridegroom? Jesus says, it doesn't make any sense for you to not eat while I'm here with you. The reason you're going to want to not eat is to create the ache and to give in to the ache, to have me draw near to you when I'm not physically with you. So in the days when the Son of Man is taken, when the days when Jesus is gone, that's when you want to fast, and you want to fast for intimacy, for the ache. You want to fast to grow deeper. I started realizing all this greatest commandment stuff is an expression of that exact same ache. It's we're doing these things in order to express our ache and longing that we would be nearer to him. It's the bride of Christ showing on the earth our recognition. You're not here. We want you. And we give in to those aches. I want us to start thinking about our lives differently. Worship team, you can come on up. I want us to start thinking about our lives in a different light. I want us to look at the invitation to love him in every way. And for us to start making a little bit of a soul inventory. Where am I not thinking about loving him at all? What are areas I'm thinking about it and ignoring on purpose? What if we could be a people that our primary thought process about why we're on the planet is to love God in every way?
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.